Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. She can't help it if she's made that way. She's not to blame if they look her way. She ain't really trying to cause a scene. It just comes naturally.
Cotton is king in this morning's conversation with Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau.
Yes, cotton is king here in Arizona, and there's a reason for that. It's a $500 million industry in the state.
Coming up, let's talk about some of the other things, because we have our fall festivals.
You
mentioned corn mazes. Where can you do? I'm sure the Farm Bureau has a listing of those somewhere we could find.
Yes, we have the listing on, we're going to release it in the blog this coming week, all of our fall festivals throughout the state. Also, for our members, they're about to get in their mailboxes our Choices, which is our quarterly publication for our agriculture members. But it's available on the website and Fill Your Plate. We'll also, we don't have it on available on azfb.org, which is our other website. We can make it available there. And then they can just call us, and we can make sure, based on where they want to go in the state, we can give them directions on which fall festivals are available.
Quickly, because this conversation can go on a very long time, but I heard on your Facebook Live, you were addressing the issue on the difference between Arizona Farm Bureau and Arizona Department of Agriculture.
Correct.
Real quick for the listeners, the difference in those two entities.
The Arizona Department of Ag is a governmental body, and it's kind of a regulatory body. What it basically is doing for you and I is making sure that the food is safe. So a lot of the things that they do have a regulatory requirement to them. And the distinction with Arizona Farm Bureau, which is not a government body, it's a grassroots nonprofit organization, but it's a non-governmental body. But it takes that. Arizona Farm Bureau takes care of you and me, because what we're doing is trying to promote the industry, take care of our farmers and ranchers so that they can keep producing food for you and I. We encourage people to become members, whether they're a farmer or not.
And the Department of Ag does rely on the Farm Bureaus for a lot of their information and a lot of their communication to the agricultural world.
We partner all the time. They have a great staff down there, and their current director, Mark Killian, is just a rock star farmer himself. They have a diverse operation of farming, and he's just a dedicated, he used to serve in the legislature, but he's dedicated to the whole ag business and wants to see it continue to grow and be safe.
Whenever we talk farming, we do get people calling in about legislation, but that's not a farm bureau. Direct those to the Department of Agriculture.
Well, yes, in some instances, but because we are a nonprofit grassroots organization, we do a lot of advocacy, lobbying on behalf of the industry to try to protect it, because a lot of times, especially on the federal government side of things, we have a lot of crazy regulations that come down that can literally put our farmers and ranchers out of business. So it's very important for the Arizona Farm Bureau. And if somebody does have a legislative question, they can call us, because of our team can usually answer their questions for them.
If you have a question or would like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text in to 411-923 or email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. James has a cactus question here that we'll get to in a moment on his barrel cactus.
And I'm just curious, Julie, what, as a person of the street, what is Pima cotton? You hear about it all the time. And I know it kind of got started here in Arizona. You hear about Egyptian cotton. You hear about Pima cotton. What is Pima cotton?
It's the long staple cotton, and it was actually researched and developed right here in Arizona. And because it's long staple, so it's going to go into your fine men's shirts versus some of the shorter staple cotton that might be used for other products that don't require that high-end quality. So long staple is very favored with some of our high-end manufacturers and some certainly our wardrobe, our fashion manufacturers.
And Pima cotton, it's actually a trademarked.
It is. It's a trademark. And like I said, it was developed right here in the state of Arizona. So it has a significant brand. It has a significant story. And it very much has a significant heritage.
Can you specifically go out and shop Pima cotton clothes?
You can.
How do you do that?
Some of our manufacturers, you can go on to Cotton Incorporated's website and some of the other cotton marketing websites will highlight the manufacturers that provide the long staple and specifically the Pima cotton.
So it was developed here, but we're now the third ranked producer of Pima.
Yes. Well, I believe it's California's number one. We're not growing as much Pima as we did, but surprise, surprise, if you look at some of the statistics, this year we grew 15,000 acres of the long staple or the Pima cotton. So, and that's a lot of cotton, again for our fine men's shirts. So it's very important. It's a very important crop. It might not be as large as what we're producing with like our short staple, which is 115,000 acres this year, but it's still a significant portion of the cotton that we produce.
And I would guess number two now would be Texas, just sheer size of the states.
Right. Texas plants the most acres in cotton, but California and Arizona are identified as the two states that produce some of the cleanest and purest white cotton that, again, is very much treasured and prized by our manufacturing and certainly our fashion industry.
I think a lot of that probably has to do with our water. We get a lot cleaner water from the mountains runoff than Texas. It's coming down through the Midwest and the lowlands, and it's probably been recycled 9, 12, 18 times
by the
time it gets that far downstream.
And the other big reason is because we don't get so much rain. Rain relies for your dryland farmers where rain is basically what waters their crop. So the rain doesn't degrade our cotton, especially when the boll opens, the B-O-L-L opens, and the cotton, the white fluffy cotton comes out. So it's actually good for us here in Arizona or California that we don't actually get as much rain on our cotton.
Now, if you woke up this morning, you realized how nice and cool it was. It was 52 degrees on my truck said when I started up this morning. Oh, that is great. But we're not quite ready for our fall ryegrass. We had a couple people write in this week and as an example, they want to plant ryegrass for their grandchildren. And I will say that is our family favorite because when do we get the non-itchy grass? When can we put the non-itchy grass? That's our winter rye. Most of the seed comes down from Oregon, so it's not local, but at least it's American. But it's time to start prepping for that overseeding. You want to start cutting back your watering, letting the Bermuda start to go dormant. And we used to talk about scalping this time of year, scalping.
Traditionally, we were always told scalp prior to planting the winter rye.
And we are reversing that.
Yeah.
And a couple reasons. You can still scalp. By all means, you can. But the main reason for not scalping is to provide a canopy for the seed to stay wet and needs to stay wet to germinate. So if you scalp it, water it, then you want to put over your seed cover or your mulching. Well, if you leave your grasses a little bit longer and you put your seed down and you're watering it, it can stay wet under the canopy and germinate without having to go through the extra cost and time in your overseeding product. Now, what you'll want to do, though, is this would now be a better time to dethatch and pull out that excess dead cover that's underneath there. You want to get that out, mow it up, and you go more than one direction. Don't just go like you mow. Do you ever have to, unless you've been on vacation for 3 or 4 weeks, you never mow more than once and at a time, right? But you come back and it's overgrown. You raise the blade and you go once and you lower the blade again. You go twice. Well, keep your blade at about 3/4 inch. Thatch it one way. Mow it to pick up those clippings. Thatch it another way. You can even go diagonal. You want to get a lot of that dead stuff out, but you don't want to scalp it. And then you can start doing that over a 2 or 3 week period. Now, if you're thatching it, you don't own one. Get that all done in 1 week so you're not renting it 3 weeks in a row. But cut back your water and start getting ready. When you are looking for rye, there are many, many types of rye grass seeds that come out. And there's two different theories here. There's one, some people say you want all the same rye grass. And some people say, no, get a blended three. The reason for that, some people say, well, they do the blended so that they can put in this real cheap seed and it's a cheaper product now coming out. A lot of people say, well, but if you get the right three blended, you could have three really good different varieties. So you've got your fast germinators so you start seeing results right away. You've got your greener ones for lusher. You've got your thicker. So it depends on what type of blended three. The Harper sells the Wilbur Ellis Wheel Grow this year. It'll be in stores here shortly. You can go to any of your local nurseries for that ryegrass, and they all have some great resources on getting it ready. We talk constantly about saving water, and if you're reducing your water 10%, if you want to have a lawn in Arizona, this is the most water efficient, and it's the time you're going to be out there enjoying it.
Absolutely.
So your ryegrass. So there's you. Stay tuned over the next couple weeks. You'll hear us talking and taking questions and helping people transition into that beautiful winter rye lawn. We're joined in studio with Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau, feverishly going through her notes there for her Facebook Live. If you haven't found her yet on Facebook, it's Julie Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-R-E-E.
And by the way, I made a boo-boo. It's not just the branded name is Supima, and you are correct. There are certain manufacturers that's what they specifically request is the branded Supima variety of the long staple cotton. Paco Allerton, one of my cotton farmers on Facebook Live, helped clarify that. He's actually the current president of the Arizona Cotton Growers.
Okay.
It's a family affair.
If anyone would know, he would know.
He would know.
For sure.
Yes, he's a great guy, great farmer.
Now, when you say we're growing less than we have historically in the 80s, is that primarily subdivision?
Yes. But more houses mean more homes that the Romero farm can redo. So it all works.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of our farmers would tell you historically that they realized as they came in, because agriculture really built Arizona, they realized that as they moved out and development moved in, there's kind of that cycle, that transition. So yes, a lot of it has to do with what was formerly, where I live now, was formerly a cotton field.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of that. And some of it's a little bit sad, but we can produce more on 1 acre of land than we ever could before. So we kind of compensate for that because of the amazing capacity of our farmers and ranchers and today's technology to really make agriculture explode.
The statistics, and you can see it all over in every different industry. You'd mentioned it's the Cotton Association?
Arizona Cotton Growers,
Arizona, yes. Cotton Growers. Most industries in Arizona do have their own. You know, you've got
correct.
Arizona Farm Bureau covers it all, but many of the industries do have their own associations underneath it.
Exactly. As an example, my parents were cotton farmers, so they were members of the Arizona Cotton Growers. But they also were members, and are still members, my dad, of the Arizona Farm Bureau. So that it's really important. You want to be commodity specific if you have a core crop. Like if I was a cattle grower, I would want to be a member of the Arizona Cattle Growers. But in this case, for my parents, my family, it was cotton. So whatever commodity, you want to be commodity specific, but if you really want to be broad and you really want that advocacy role, then you want to be a member of Arizona Farm Bureau.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you have a question or you'd like to join the conversation. It's Rosie on the House, your Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. Text option is 411-923.